First Corinthians chapter number 13, brethren. Then we'll be going to the book of John, chapter number 14. And a quick relapse of verse in Hebrews 12, or excuse me, 2 Timothy 4. Can't seem to get away from that Hebrews 12. Might have to go back over there one of these days and preach a little bit. But trust the Lord to help us today in the Sunday school time. I was looking there again this morning and just meditating on some things about Christian charity. That's what we've titled this chapter and dealing with. Of course, I know it falls where we go every couple of weeks, and sometimes different things might come up and might go a third week or whatever the case may be. But I've been dealing with this now for just a little over a year in the Sunday school time. And I want to stress this morning, I hope I have not bored you too bad. Amen. I did not realize that we had been here that long. And I feel somewhat that I need to hurry it up and finish up. But looking at it this morning, it appears that we'll have about six more lessons, I think, counting this one, if the Lord will be our helper. So I trust that we can encourage you in it. I trust you have been encouraged in it and looking for the Lord to help us in these ways. All right? In 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 this morning, and verse number 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And that's the phrase we've been dealing with now. The last couple of lessons of how charity endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word today. You pray for us, Lord, to help us today. I really got the easy thought to deal with today. And shouldn't be too lengthy. And trust the Lord to bless and help you with it today. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the blessings of God. We thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being able to be in the house of God this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you've called me to preach, Lord. And I thank you for the opportunity we have to teach thy word. Lord, you know that I have need also to be taught. And I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to gain the truth that we need to have from the word of God. Lord, I pray for the man of God this morning, as he preaches the word of God to us, I pray that you'd help us to take heed to it and apply it in our life. There are areas, Lord, that we need to grow in. I trust, Lord, that you'd show us today, and God, that you'd help us in a mighty way, and we'll thank you for that. I do pray, Lord, for the brethren today, that you touch them and help them. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us clarity of thought, clarity of speech, Lord, that we might be able to instruct in righteousness through the word of God. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. Amen. Verse number 7, the Bible said about charity that it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and then endureth all things. And just real quickly, we've been dealing with the thought of endureth all things. The word endure means to abide, take patiently, to suffer. And we used the illustration out of 2 Timothy chapter number 4, if you want to go there quickly. We used the illustration of Paul in the Word of God, how he fought a good course, amen, and kept the faith. Fought a good fight, the Bible said, finished his course, and have kept the faith, out of verse number 7. I'm not going to take time to read all through all that, but the evidence is there that Paul stayed with the stuff and continued on, and he said, even though all men had forsaken him, the Lord was still standing with him and still helping him. And I'm glad that he'll do that. And I said that Christian charity will cause us to endure all things. It'll cause us to fight a good fight. And we dealt with some things about that, in like a military example, enlisting and training, call to battle, the armor, separation. Then I dealt with the fact of how we need to finish our course. And I went to Hebrews chapter number 12 and talked about how we need to finish the course that God has put before us. When God sets us on the course, amen, he is able to help us to finish and complete that course. And I want to say quickly that it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to run the fastest or jump the highest, but we must finish that course if we're going to stay faithful to God. And then that brought us to the last part that we was dealing with on being faithful to the faith and how we need to be faithful to the things of the Lord. And I didn't really mean to, didn't want to necessarily in my own self, but I felt impressed the Lord to do so, and we dealt with these three sub-points individually. And we dealt with how when we're to be faithful to the faith, we need to look to the Savior when we're weak, weary, and wandering. And then the love for the Scriptures, how they're eternal, they're esteemed, they're enlightening. And, of course, that Word of God is quick and powerful. We're born again by the Word of God, 1 Peter 1:18. And, of course, that everything was made by the Word of God. God spoke things into existence, and He is our Creator. And don't use the term was, because He still is. Amen. And always will be. And then, Lord willing, being our helper this morning, we'll deal with here for about 20 minutes or so on this thought. The third thing that we need in order to be able to endure is listening to the Spirit. Listening to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit I'm talking about of God, and obeying and following His direction in our life. So if you would, turn with me now to the book of John and chapter number 14. And we'll deal with a few things here. Like I said, I really, as far as a lot of ideas and opinions, I don't have a lot to say. I got a few scriptures here to point out to you about the Spirit of God, and we'll be done. The Bible said here that we need to learn to listen to the Spirit. If we'll listen to the Spirit, then we will be able to, I believe, keep the faith. Because the Spirit will guide us into all truth, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Now, I'm not going to take time to read the whole chapter, but I do want to read about 13 verses of it, beginning with verse number 15 in the book of John, chapter number 14. The Bible said here in verse number 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And as I looked upon this again to refresh myself this weekend of the lesson, I began to think about that and meditate upon what Brother Steve's been teaching with the Ten Commandments, and that really broadened that verse to me. If you love me, keep my commandments. My, how much do we really love the Lord? And I mean, how, and I'm not talking about the commandment, necessarily just the Ten Commandments, but the scope of them, as Brother Steve's been bringing out. I mean, how much do we really love God? Well, that's a question that we ought to ask ourselves, isn't it? If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, the Lord loves his children, no doubt. And, of course, in the picture here, in the text that we have, the Lord is speaking with his disciples and teaching them some things. And he said, you know, I've been with you. And there's going to, and I'm paraphrasing here somewhat to just kind of give you the thought here. He said, there's going to come a day that I'm leaving. I'm not going to abide with you. And I'll read some of that scripture here in a minute. But he said, there's coming a day I'm going to leave. And he said, I will come again, but I'm going to leave for a while. But he said, I'm going to send another Comforter to you. And I'm glad Jesus is a Comforter. And I'm glad that he sent the Holy Ghost to us as born-again believers to be a Comforter to us. He said that he may abide with you forever. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." I want you to notice the phrase, and I believe it'll stick out to you more if you'll take heed and think upon it. But I noticed in our reading and meditation upon this now the last couple of days of how much it says or how much is could be meant by the Spirit of truth. When God relates to the Holy Spirit, it is a Spirit of truth. And, you begin to think about how much the truth comforts. He's our comforter. And you begin to think about how much the truth brings us comfort. Sometimes it might bring some sorrow for a moment. Sometimes it might bring some mental pain, mental anguish, because of maybe that we've done wrong or we didn't want to hear what we heard. But afterward, it yielded that peaceable fruit of righteousness. Amen. As the Bible talks about in Hebrews, that Spirit of truth, when you know the truth, the Bible said the truth shall make you free. And I believe that it's very important that we learn and listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible said here that the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. My, what a promise. Jesus said he'll not leave us without comfort, didn't he? Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Why? So they would know. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I'll leave off reading there for the time being. But dealing with the thought of listening to the Spirit. Now, we know that Jesus, in a bodily form, is not here amongst us today, as he was the apostles, the disciples. And he taught them and led them personally and spoke to them with words from his mouth. Now, I know we have the Word of God, which I believe to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And I do believe that we have the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read his Word and study his Word, he speaks to us from his Word. But he has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us, and we find the job of the Holy Spirit, if I can put it that way, in John 16. We'll go there in a little bit. But I see here in our text that he is a comforter. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But Jesus give us that for a help to us, brethren. He knows that as man in humanity, he knows that we need help. And he knew that we would need a constant companion. And that's why the Holy Ghost came. And I want to give you three things quickly and then we'll be done. First of all, we need to listen to the guidance of the Spirit. How he guides us in John's Gospel, chapter number 16 and verse number 13. The Bible said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He said, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Notice what he will do. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Amen. Now I want to turn over to 1 John chapter number 2 before I make some comments here. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 27. The Bible said in 1 John 2:27, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you." And I believe that to be the Holy Ghost. Amen. He said here, "But he said it abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." You say, "Well, Brother Joel, that means that we don't need you up there telling us anything from the Word of God." No, that's not the case. We do need Brother Hall as pastor up here teaching us and guiding us in the truth. You do need to be taught. Other men, Brother Steve, teaching the Word of God to us and expounding the Scriptures to us, as well as other preachers that come and do the same thing. We need that. What he's saying here when he said you have no need that a man teach you, if you back up into the context of the Scripture, he's talking about those who are liars. He's talking about those who have denied the Lord Jesus Christ and denied him as being the Son of God. And if the Holy Ghost lives inside of you, you don't have no need for a man to teach you that Jesus is the Christ and that he is the Son of God. The Holy Ghost himself will teach you that. Amen. And so there's things that, if you please, that the Holy Ghost teaches you immediately as a child of God, and he'll guide you into that truth. Now, I do believe in the instruction, the guidance of the Spirit of God in areas of our life, and I'll get into that. That's why God gave us a pastor. That's why God gave us the instruction in righteousness, the man of God. Amen, that he might lead us in those paths of righteousness. It's not that we don't have a need of him. We do. So never misunderstand 1 John 2:27. If we're born of God, then we have no need for a man to teach us that we're born of God. He'll teach us himself. Amen. Well, let's get back to our text in John 16. He said he'll guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. I believe that when Paul said, "Use not your liberty for a cloak of unrighteousness," I believe that could be applied somewhat here. There's things maybe that we do sometimes that are not necessarily wrong, as far as, you know, maybe like going fishing, going hunting, collecting things and doing things of that nature in the things of the world. Now, I'm not talking about going out and living ungodly lifestyles and partaking of those kind of things. But I'm talking about doing things that we would consider still wholesome and family time. There's nothing wrong with those things, but if they come into a place that you cannot allow it to be a glorifying unto the Lord, then it's wrong. And the Spirit of God will show you that. We can get involved, brethren, in some things, in too many things, and it be wrong. We can get so involved in doing right things that we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And that is the Spirit of God's job, if I can put it that way, to guide us into that truth, to let us know that we have given ourselves to something that we shouldn't have given ourselves to, that he might bring us back to the place that we study the Word of God and know the truth. Amen. And we are sanctified by the Word of God. That is the truth. He said here he'll guide us into that truth, and he'll bring us to a place that he'll show us things that will glorify God. And is our life glorifying to the Lord? I've been meditating upon some of those thoughts and working on some of those thoughts, maybe for a future message. But is are the things that is done in our body, are they glorifying unto God? The Bible said, "Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And I wonder, the lifestyle that we live, the things that we do, the places that we go, and how we act when we get there, I wonder if that shows people out there that we are a child of God, and therefore it will glorify God when they recognize that. Amen. And I'm talking to me as well as you. I wonder how close we really are following the Spirit of truth. He will guide us into all truth, and that truth will extend that glorification unto the Father. Notice here now, secondly, not only will he guide us, but he comforts us. Back in John 15 and verse number 26, the Bible said, "But when the Comforter is come," he is a comforter, brethren, and he will comfort us. You know, many times it's good to have the preacher. I can go talk to him, I can call him up, or I can go over to his house, and I can receive some comfort, some words of exhortation from him, and receive some comfort from him. I can talk to my wife and receive some comforting words from her. I can talk to other brethren and receive maybe some words of comfort from some of them. Some of them, you know, I don't call no names. But nonetheless, amen, we might not receive much comfort from. But nonetheless, amen, the Holy Ghost is our comforter. And when the brethren don't seem to understand, when the pastor doesn't seem to understand, when our mate does not seem to understand, I'm glad that he will. Amen. And he will comfort us in those times. He said, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Isn't it comforting just to know the truth? You know, that was one of the biggest things with Brother Hall's sickness. He wanted to know the truth. He wanted to know what was wrong. You know, whether they can correct or whether they can't correct, that was not the issue. He wanted to know what was wrong. And even though it might bring somewhat of sorrow, and I'll get to that in a minute, to our hearts to know what the truth is, yet it's still comforting to know the truth. Amen. And how true that is, even spiritually, for us to know the truth. We ought to know the truth. We ought to have that blessed assurance that we are a child of God and that we are walking in the light of God as He leads us and directs us in our life. We ought to have that comforting truth in our life. Amen. In John 14, in verse number 26, the Bible said there, as one of the verses I read in the text there, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, He lets us know what He is and who He is. Amen. And He said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You know, many times we go through life's pathway and we think, well, I wonder what I should do in this. And then all of a sudden a verse of Scripture pop in your head or a message that you heard preached out of the Word of God begins to come to your mind and it gives you that right instruction. Who was that? That was the Comforter. That was the Holy Ghost. Amen. That brought those things back to your remembrance that you might not sin against God. Amen. And let me go on in John chapter number 16 and verse number 7. The Comforter was sent for some reasons. He said in verse number 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Amen. Jesus is not going to lie, is He? Amen. Amen. He's not like a lot of them preachers said, I'm not preaching now, I'm telling the truth. Isn't that what some of y'all said? Somebody said in here. But He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Now Jesus said, I'm going to send Him to you. But here's what He's going to do. When He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I mean, that's the responsibility of the Holy Ghost, is to bring conviction, to show people they're wrong, and to bring conviction in their life. And that correction, He said, of sin because they believe not on Me, of righteousness because I go to My Father and you see Me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. He said, you're not going to understand them. You're under enough load right now. You don't need this. He said, but, look at what He said in verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Again, that Spirit of God will guide you into all truth, and He'll comfort you. He's the one. Jesus said, here He said, I want to tell you some more things, but He said, you can't bear them right now. Be too much for you right now. But He said, when He comes, amen, He's going to help you bear them. And I'm glad that the Spirit of God can help us bear today, brethren, things that we never would have dreamed. I was talking to Brother Chevy there right before the thing. He told me his ex-brother-in-law there had passed away. Didn't know the Lord. Family members there don't know the Lord. You know, and that saddens his heart and saddens my heart. I don't want to see nobody go to hell. Amen. And I don't believe a child of God wants anybody to go to hell. Amen. But the fact is that those things happen. People do die without God. They have rejected Christ and they'll not come to Christ and believe on Him as the Scripture saith. And that they will die and spend an eternity away from God in a devil's hell. But the fact is that we can receive comfort, even though things like that happen, we can receive comfort from the Holy Ghost as a saved individual. Now, one of the hardest things, of course, Dad passing away, and many of you have had loved ones pass away, and I know Mom struggles with it a lot, you know, but with Dad being gone now, I wonder how we would handle these things without the comfort of the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes just thoughts just come to your mind, you just start weeping, crying, you know, and you can't hold it back. You know, and if you try to hold it back, like I do sometimes, then your throat all of a sudden gets sore, gets aching and hurting. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that sometimes that when man cannot be that comfort, the Holy Ghost is there for that comfort. And Jesus said there's going to be some things going to come on you that I can't tell you about right now. You're not able to bear them, but when he has come, he'll help you. And truly he will, brethren. He will. And I want to say thirdly, lastly, not only listen to the Spirit, he'll guide you, he'll comfort you, but I want to say he enables you. He enables you. Acts 1:8, you know the scripture, but you shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in all Judea, and unto Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And of course, that's talking about the apostles there, receiving that power of the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel, to spread the gospel. And that's what I believe the Spirit of God does for us that are saved. He enables us to be able to spread the gospel. In Luke's gospel, chapter number 24, let me read a couple of verses of scripture there. In Luke 24 and verse number 48 and 49. Luke 24, 48 and 49, he said, "And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Of course, reference back to that we know that took place there on the day of Pentecost. And he will endue us with power. That's the Spirit of God. He has enabled us, brethren, to give out the gospel, to spread the gospel, the good news, out to every creature. Amen. In John's gospel, chapter number 20 and verse number 21. I don't know if you'd call it my favorite text of scripture or not, but it sure seems like the Lord takes my mind here a lot, even in preaching. But in John's Gospel, chapter number 20, when Jesus has appeared unto them after his resurrection, he said in verse number 19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Notice here what happened in verse 21. "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And then what took place? He said, "I want you to know, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Brethren, we can't do a work for God without the work of the Holy Ghost, without the Spirit of God. Amen. In us, to empower us, enable us to do that God has called us to do. We must have the Holy Spirit living within us. Amen. As a child of God, and we must allow him to have his work. Amen. To guide us into that truth. I want to say in closing, that I see in Christian charity, that's what we're dealing with. We often symbolize, and of course it is, the fact of the love of God. And there's no greater love. The Bible said in John 15:13, "No greater love hath a man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And we know Jesus is telling that to his disciples, and we know that he did. And, you know, I begin to think about that and meditate upon that again this morning. The love of God. Why do we do what we do? You know, man can probably go a long ways because he feels an obligation. Man can probably suffer some things because he's putting on a front. But the thing that'll keep that man going to the end is love. Brother Steve was bringing out the fact of how Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and how we ought to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And I began to think about that, of how much do we really love our wives? How much do we love our children? How much do we love the church, the people in the church? How much do we love the house of God, reverence the house of God? How much do we love things in our life? And I want to tell you, you'll go to the extremities to keep that that you love and to perform that that you have love for. And I want to say, if we truly have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts and we truly love the Lord, it will keep us faithful to the end. It will preserve us, if you want to put it that way. It will cause us to persevere. I want to give you one scripture in conclusion out of the book of Job. This is true love. Everybody here, I believe, is pretty familiar with the story of Job, the account of Job, and how everything was taken from him, how he had done right, he had eschewed evil. It wasn't because he had sinned against God. Here's what he said in Job 13:15. Though he slay me, referring to the Lord, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He said, even if I die in this course, I'm going to keep on going. Brethren, do we love the Lord? Do we love the things of God?